This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Short show today. Well, I shouldn't say that. Shorter than our normal 4.5-hour marathon.
There you go.
3.5 hours of fun on Grant and Danny, taking you up to 5:30 tonight. Nats pregame at that time, first pitch of their ball game at Nationals Park on this holiday Friday with fireworks to follow is 6:05 in and around the DMV. We welcome in our Richmond audience, AM 910, FM 105.1 in the capital of the Commonwealth. You can listen to the show wherever you are. Get out of the car, run into the store, pause and rewind the show with the Odyssey app. We're coast to coast all over the country on that app. We wanted to talk to Candace Buckner, and she's been kind enough to carve out a few minutes for us today because she penned an incredible column, and she went harder in the paint than Heidi White at Capital One Arena when I was a kid. Just a really, really true piece, frankly.
I don't think gas prices affected Candace's flamethrower.
Only in Washington do NBA stars get 251 million participation trophies was the headline. So, Candace, first of all, you eloquently laid out in your column a lot of the things that we've been screaming about on this show for a little while. But just give people an idea of kind of your thesis statement of sorts, if you will.
Well, first things first, great to Heidi White reference. I'm in St. Louis. You St. Louis guy.
Ooh, I love that. Thank you. Georgetown
nice
Hoya.
Energy. So basically, I think Bradley Beal is a likable guy. I think he is a marketable face of the franchise for this franchise. However, it's not me. The results are not what's a nice word to say? Because I did try to water down the column a little bit, not to be too cruel. The results are not adding up to the amount of money that the Wizards decided that he was worth. Maybe that's just the market saying it. And because he's been here for 10 years, he had this very special situation where he can get this amount of money. Still, the wins and the losses show that the franchise has not taken a next step with him as its lead star.
So, Candace, I want you to I'll give you my view, and I'd love for you to expound. Tell me where I'm wrong, right, whatever. Bradley Beal's good. This isn't a criticism of Beal per se, right? He's a really good player. Was a third-team All-NBA guy, which made him eligible for these escalators and this massive extension. But from the team's perspective, right, I get the sense that they're terrified that if he was gone, if they used him to kind of restart and a sign and trade, or what I have advocated was they should have traded him a couple times over the years to really, right, hasten a rebuild. I think they're terrified that it might not get this good again. I think they're terrified that they might not even be able to find a Bradley Beal, when that's quite literally what you're in the business of doing, right?
Right. And many people, I remember a column from David Aldridge back in the day that it was time to trade Bradley Beal just to hasten the next phase. So is this as good as it's going to get? That's scary. And if the Wizards think that, fighting for the play-in is what they're okay with, getting maybe 2 home playoff games to kind of, give some money back to the franchise, if that's as good as it's going to get, then that's more depressing than I thought the situation was.
Candace Buckner of the Post. One of the pieces things I liked about the piece is you went into the max contracts they've given out, and starting with when they gave Arenas the huge money, 6 for $111 million, that ended up being a debacle. You know, not long after that, they gave the $170 million extension to John Wall. He had one full season, I think, after that. You mentioned the Otto Porter contract and then what happened thereafter, where his high water mark here, I think, was like 14 points a game. I mean, there is a precedent of them throwing this huge money at players and then it blowing up in their faces. But it didn't stop them here, despite everything telling them that maybe this isn't the best way to win a title.
No, it didn't stop them. And from jumpstart, really, for over a year, they've been pretty much dug in that they are going to give Bradley this max contract, which I really didn't understand because, all right, so you want to build around Brad, that's great, but now actually give some talent to him so that he can play with like a all-star caliber type guard in the backcourt like he had with John. And some players in the rotation. So you're going to commit to Porzingis, and you don't know how that's going to work. He hasn't played a second with Bradley Beal. You bring in Monty Morris and Will Barton. I like those players. I really like Will. I covered him his rookie year in Portland. He's a great scorer, but does that make the team better? Does that give Bradley Beal the help in the East to actually make them maybe a top four seed? So you give him this money, but you become handcuffed in actually giving him help. But then again, it's two people in this situation. Bradley didn't opt into 36, but he did take the biggest amount. So that was his choice. And the Wizards just, you know, gave it to him willy-nilly. I shouldn't say willy-nilly, but they gave it to him.
Yeah, they were in a hurry to give it to him. Post columnist Candace Buckner joins us here. And the to say the column is strong is an understatement. It bench presses 600 pounds. I think squats just under 1,000. Maybe runs a 4.2. Candace, for years, I was very critical of Ernie Grunfeld. I stand by that. I didn't think he was particularly good at his job. There was always this thing hanging over, though, kind of in the background. Conversely, I like Thomas Shepard a lot. I think a lot of him in terms of his acumen. I think he's a sharp dude, and I like what he's kind of done to try to unclog what I felt like was kind of the Grunfeld toilet. But again, this same cloud is kind of hanging over me. And here's my question. How much of this is Ted Leonsis? How much of this is the general manager? And is he just, we're both guys maybe operating under a certain edict that maybe we don't know about?
I thought once Tommy took over as interim and then got the job, I thought he was going to really distinguish himself from the previous decade when he was the assistant GM to Grunfeld and really like make his mark. Because Tommy, for all intents and purposes, for all I know, is a very sharp dude, very clever. And I thought he was going to try to do the things that Ernie should have done. You stick with the guy for too long. You may stick with the coach for too long, but understand how the league is being played and then move on. That hasn't happened here. So that does make me think, is Ted just really in love with having, this face, this very talented player? Is he just very, very into having a face of the franchise instead of building it up, going through some really gritty years and building it back up that we have seen work? Memphis, we're seeing it work with Boston because they actually were bad enough to build it back up. So I don't know the guy who signs the checks is Ted Leonsis. So yes, he's the one that has the final say, and this is how his team is going to be constructed. And this is what we're going to do.
Which is why I wonder, is the goal, do they really view a championship as realistic? Or do they just say, in this sport, unless you've got the super team, you can't pull it off anyway. So let's just try to be in the top six every year in the East and get to the second round of the playoffs. And while I don't think that's overly realistic. Right. And that's the point. I mean, you show that they're the eighth best team in the East, essentially, over these years with Bradley Beal here as their alpha, so to speak, which they're thinking, well, maybe we can be the 5 seed or the 6 seed. Maybe we can win playoff series. And it hasn't happened. I guess they think that they can do that. But, like, I was listening yesterday to the station, and Jimmy Patsos, who knows more about basketball than I'll ever be able to learn, was saying, like, maybe this year they could make the playoffs and maybe they can win in the first round. Like, that would be awesome for them. And my point is, that should not be their goal. Like, their goal should be to win a title. This path that they're on doesn't ever allow for that, in my opinion.
We've seen it. I believe that we know exactly who Bradley Beal is on the court and what type of player that he is on the court, because we've watched him for 10 years. Going into year 11, we know what to expect. What we don't know is if he can actually carry a team into a June, which he says he wants to play. So because we don't know that, there's no way of actually thinking that this team has, in 2023, 2024, has the ability to be one of the final four teams in the East. There's just no way we can say that now because we just haven't seen it. So, again, if Jimmy is saying, hey, get to the first round, that would be wonderful. Very meager dreams, but I guess that's just the way it's going to be around here for a couple of years and more.
So, Candace, we're a year removed from Beal, you know, within just a hair of being the league's leading scorer, you know, for a mid-30s win team. They weren't particularly good. I don't know how much of that was his fault. He was unbelievable scoring the basketball. Before he shut it down last year with that wrist injury, we're sort of not talking enough about this in my mind. Career worst from three. And it wasn't like, oh, by a hundredth of a percentage point. This is down, you know, his previous career worst was 349. He was at 30% even from three. Career worst, I think, or, you know, over the last 7-8 years from two even. And he was turning the ball over at a huge rate.
His last 2 years have been his two worst years from three, for the record.
Right.
Yeah, and this was such a dramatic drop-off that it's like, it's not just, oh, hey, that's a fraction of a percentage. It's something that's a sample size thing. He'll correct it with, you know, one nice game. This was a trend. He turned it over more despite a lower usage rate. Point blank, he was nowhere near as good as he's been, and he wasn't particularly good at times last year. And just the timing of this all of a sudden makes you go, whoa, wait a minute.
Danny, that's an excellent point. And even my last year on the beat, you know, obviously things stopped in March 11, 2020. It was the 2019-2020 season. Brad started off he was struggling from his three. There were stories written about it, and he was just saying he'll get back to it. Water finds its level, blah, blah, blah. But for these past three seasons, we have not seen a consistent, and that's his bread and butter. He was a shooter first before he became this, you know, all-world scorer. We have not seen consistently good shooting from Bradley Beal. And another thing, before the injury, there was a regression in the team. Before Brad left, there was a 35-point collapse to the Clippers. There were other losses that made you think that, you know, the very first month of this, you know, this feel-good Wizards team, yeah, maybe that was just a mirage while Bradley was still playing. So we can look at the injuries and then the midseason trade that kind of disrupted flow, but every team in the NBA has to deal with those sort of stuff. And the Wizards were not looking like a playoff team even when he was on the court by the end of his season.
Candace Buckner's story is in the post. You should check it out. It's really good. As you could tell, I mean, we agree with your take, but when we do one of these segments where everyone's in agreement and, you know, we're kind of all piling on, I like playing a little devil's advocate as well. So on the flip side of this, let's just try to figure out maybe what they're thinking. I mean, for me, I believe they're just trying to get to the playoffs and maybe seeing if they can win a series. And maybe they feel like, you know, in football that works, in hockey that works. I don't think it works in basketball, but maybe they philosophically disagree. You know, you can disagree. That's fine. I guess I wonder, Candace, like, what is the other way forward here? Let's say it works. Let's say Bradley Beal gets back to scoring 30 a game. He's awesome. What's this look like then, and how is there a path forward to them finding new heights?
So the rainbow after the doom and gloom, I do like Porzingis. I do like what we saw here after you got traded to Washington. Maybe it could be a new and healthy unicorn. Kuzma has figured out that, you know, he doesn't have to play in LeBron's shadow. He really wants to prove that he can be, you know, a go-to guy in the NBA. So I like their core. I think they'll be exciting to watch at times. So what they're doing, they are younger. I know Brad is still in his 20s, and he has I don't think Porzingis was ever an all-star. Maybe he was. Correct me if I'm wrong. But he does have better talent around him than he does last year. I just don't know if that's good enough to make the next step towards like, you know, second round. However, clearly that's not what we should be looking at right now. So big picture, it could be entertaining. And I am curious to see how Bradley, who needs the ball, and Porzingis, kind of needs the ball, how that looks. But I really do like KP, and I like what he did at the end of the season.
Yeah, Porzingis was an All-Star in 2017-2018. That's his one trip there, Candace. What would – just kind of piggybacking off Grant. So I'm just a pudgy idiot. You know, I do the show with Grant. We have that in common. We're just here. We love sports. We're watching the games like everything else. What would make them be able to thumb their nose at me or Grant or anybody else and say, you guys are wrong, we were right? Like, thumbing their nose at us. What's the threshold where they, if they passed it, then they get to go, see, we knew what we were talking about and you guys didn't.
Okay. All right. And they can say that I'm a hater, let's say.
Yeah, sure. You drank your haterade. Okay. You're a hater, though. You hated. You're a hater.
I'll say 45 wins and top six. As long as they're not, like, struggling to get into the play-in, and unfortunately for some, you know, decent teams who would have been in the playoffs regularly with the seventh and eighth, you know, they have to, you know, fight for that spot. But they can thumb their nose and you know, have subtweets and all that fun stuff, take their victory lap. If they get beyond the play-in, so top six, and maybe 45-plus wins.
See, I'm going to take your back here, if you don't mind. I think no chance do you at that point, or me or Danny or anybody else, have to say, oh, you guys were right. That's not that hard to do. Like, they should do that every single year. My answer to you,
sure.
What I was thinking in my head when you asked her that question, Danny, was Eastern Conference Finals.
Is get further than they've been.
And I'm not saying this year they have to do it, but in this iteration with Beal as the alpha, making his $50 million, they have to get to an Eastern Conference Final, and then they'll say, we told you so. But being the sixth seed?
In 5 years, get to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah. I mean, anything less than that, then what was the point
of this? Okay. Oh, yeah, you're right. But I don't see it happening.
Same.
We don't either, Candace.
That's not happening. That's my – I mean, your column's great. That's the whole my point is, I don't see any way that they could do that the way that they're going. But how else could they claim victory? When you just paid him this money, aren't you saying that you can accomplish that with him? Like, I don't know how they could possibly claim victory otherwise, as your column – points out. I mean, by the way, one thing we haven't talked about is the chart you did with Neil.
Oof.
Was incredible.
Shout out to Neil Greenberg, who did that on his day off, probably. So I really appreciate that. But yeah, if you look at it, the margin of victory is a negative, and it doesn't look that much different when he's not playing.
Meaning, so for people that just didn't see the chart, they show the margin of victory when Beal plays and when he doesn't, and it's essentially the same. It's within a point or a point and a half or something. I didn't even realize their winning percentages were so comparable. They win like 40% of their games when he doesn't play and 43% when they do. And again, this is not to beat up on Bradley Beal. It sounds like that's what I'm doing. But the point is, did they do the right thing by giving him a contract that only one other player has ever gotten? And it's kind of, you tell me if you think I'm wrong, it's like a marginal difference when he's played and when he hasn't, basically.
Right, right. And kind of big picture of what you guys were mentioning earlier with the previous next contracts. I wasn't here for the Gill year, so I don't know what the reaction was. But when John Wall, after that 2017 year, there was a lot of, like, kudos and hooray and hurrah that, you know, we got him locked up for a couple more years. And then Otto, that's a lot of money, but the market dictated that he was worth that much. So, yay, he deserved it. Now he just has to do more. Now I'm, and obviously you can't judge everything by Twitter or comments in stories, but the reaction has just been so dull, and just there's not the level of excitement that you would think should happen for your homegrown guy to really be locked into your franchise. Essentially, for the rest of his career, the rest of his productive years of his career, and that's so telling.
Candace Buckner wrote the column. It's tremendous. You got to read it. Only in Washington do NBA stars get 251 million participation trophies. Wow, well done. You said you're on the road right now. You say you're traveling
back home in St. Louis. Yep.
There you go. You going to get a couple ribs while you're there? That's my move in St. Louis.
No, I always, I never had St. Louis barbecue. I always do, you know, the Emo's pizza. Got to represent the St. Louis style pizza.
It's very
for
good.
All the haters out there.
What is St. Louis style pizza?
It's good. Candace, here's now you're stumbling on something.
Is it extra thin or something?
No,
or?
It's like Chicago's cousin. Here's the thing. We run down certain kinds of pizza because we like other kinds of pizza. It's insane to me. They're like, no, New York, Chicago too. It's more bread. You know, St. Louis has its thing. Detroit's got a thing. St. Louis pizza is welcome at the table. That's what I say, Candace.
You can eat a whole medium and not feel bad.
Well, or two.
I'm going to have to Google this. I'm going to have to look into it. Great, Colin. We appreciate the time. Hope we didn't keep you too long, and go enjoy yourself.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Candace.
Well, Candace Buckner of The Post here on G&D on The Fan. The chart was the one that got me, where it was like, here's how things go with and without him. Pretty amazing. Juan Soto. We found out yesterday the Nats are still talking. They've apparently made another offer. There's still ongoing conversation. Let's get into that next. We'll win off the field with you at 3:45 on this Friday on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.